Shall we pray? Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and give you praise for this Lord's Day when we can gather here as the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased by his blood. We thank you that we are shielded by his power, and we thank you that we can worship you in the beauty of his holiness. We thank you that by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, you enable us to develop within our lives a measure of the holiness that we draw from him. We pray your blessing on this assembly here this morning, O Lord. You know your people. You know your sheep. And we pray that you will bless each and every one of us here this morning with what we need the most in order to live the life that Christ has called us to live, and that we might bring glory to his name. We pray that you will bless the preaching of the Word of God. We pray that you will bless our singing together, that we might sing from the heart and sing with the understanding too, that we might present everything to you as our spiritual worship that is pleasing to you. We pray in Christ's name for his glory. Amen. Please be seated. Our confession of faith this morning as we continue in the Heidelberg is Lord's Day 18. Questions 49 and 50, you'll find it on page 58 in the little red book. On page 58, we have Lord's Day 18, and we're dealing with the ascension of Christ. And you know that strange question I asked last week about different forms of the Heidelberg Catechism having the questions arranged according to different Lord's Days? Guess what? There is at least one version of the Heidelberg Catechism that has a different arrangement of the questions than what we have here. And I did not completely realize that till this past week. I think this is the more traditional format. Though, the other arrangement, I think, was done by the Christian Reformed Church, and there is a kind of a logic, though, to the way they did it. The questions are all in the same order, but they're grouped in Lord's Days more by the topic. In other words, instead of having one question on the Ascension this Lord's Day and another question on the Ascension next Lord's Day, since they're both on the Ascension, they put them on the same Lord's Day and handled it that way. So, but we have the more traditional setup here today. So question 49 asks, what benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge, and that he, as the head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. And then question 50, why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven for this end, that he might there appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. So, as I said, these questions have to do with the ascension of our Lord back to heaven after his crucifixion and after his resurrection, which you can read about. If you want to read, you know, more of the historical narrative of that, I recommend reading the first chapter of the book of Acts in your New Testament, verses 1 through 11. In the Apostles' Creed, Christians confess that we believe with the New Testament that after he arose from the dead, our Lord ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The relevance of Christ's ascension for Christians is the subject of question 49 this morning. In other words, how does his ascension benefit us? And the Catechism gives three ways that the ascension benefits us. First of all, we're benefited by the ascension of Christ because We have an advocate with the Father now in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're told that by the New Testament itself. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. Our Savior is an advocate for us. He is, in other words, our lawyer, so to speak, in heaven, pleading our case. That's what advocates do. And he's pleading our case so that when Satan, our adversary, accuses us, and the word Satan means adversary, Satan in Greek means adversary. When Satan, our adversary, accuses us in our consciences, or when he dares to bring a charge against us before the Father, our Heavenly Father, then at that point, Jesus, God's own Son, pleads our case for us. He defends us. He interposes his precious blood shed for us. And he intercedes in prayer for us. Someone said that Christ is our prayer partner in heaven. I kind of like that idea. Christ is our prayer partner in heaven. It's good to have prayer partners on earth, but how much better to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your prayer partner in heaven. Romans 8:34 says this, who is he that condemneth? Talking about God's people. Who can condemn God's people? After all, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He's talking about right now. He's at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us right now. So Christians have an advocate in heaven. This is the first benefit of the ascension of Christ for us. Secondly, Christ's ascension benefits us because we now have our own flesh in heaven. The second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And in that physical body, he was crucified on the cross, and that body was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, that body came forth, a resurrection body, and 40 days later ascended back to heaven. His resurrection body was not a ghost. It was not a phantom. And in that body, he ascended to heaven. By the way, he will return in that same body. But the point now, this morning, is that through Christ's body, being the first body in heaven, it's not the last body in heaven. Ours will be there too. All of his redeemed church is going to go to heaven. But thirdly, because of our Lord's ascension, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell our hearts. I want to turn to John 16:7 here in the New Testament, where Jesus is teaching his disciples on the night he was betrayed, the night before his crucifixion. And in John chapter 16, verse 7, he told his disciples he's going to have to go away. And of course, they don't like that very much. And he says in verse 6, John 16:6, because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Well, understandably, it did, because they didn't have the whole picture yet. We have the whole picture. We have the whole New Testament to tell us why it was good for him to leave this earth and go back to heaven. But on that night in Jerusalem, in that upper room, they didn't know any of that yet. And so he's teaching them. And so he recognizes in verse 6 their sorrow that he's going to leave. But in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, he's talking there about, of course, the Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek here is the word paraclete or parakletos, which means comforter or helper. So some of the more modern, contemporary English translations of the Bible use those words, comforter or helper. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. And in John 14, Jesus says he's going to send the helper, the comforter. While he was on earth here as a man walking about on this earth, he was limited to one place at a time. He could only be one place at a time. But once he ascended to heaven, he could send from there another comforter, his Holy Spirit, to give us power from on high for service. We can't serve him without his power. To give us strength for godly living in an evil world full of temptation, and to be with us forever. Remember, he said to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you forever. And he is with his church in the person and the presence of his Holy Spirit. But that all took place after he went to heaven, ascended back to heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, poured out his Spirit on the church. So truly, our Lord's ascension is part of the gospel. It's part of the good news that through union with Christ, the believer is even now a citizen of heaven. And so what should we do in light of that? Well, Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 is where we find our proper attitude. There we're told, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our hymn in response to the truth of Christ's ascension is number 455 in the hymnal. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood?
Harvest Reformed Church meets at the Grand Hotel on Minot's North Hill. Phone is area code 701-838-0605. Our web address is www.harvestreformedchurch.org. Email is hrcus@srt.com. And regular postal address is P.O. Box 804, Minot, North Dakota, 58702. Harvest Reformed Church is a part of the Reformed Church in the United States. RCUS history, doctrinal and confessional standards, member churches, and other related information is found by going to www.rcus.org. Thanks for listening.